Wow, Ant, you really went in the throwback machine there.
Oh, you know you, what you know about this, Craig?
Man, this is like high school, bro. Or not even high school. This is like middle school, bro. That Madden like 2006 or something like that. Or no, Madden like 2002.
Good Charlotte?
Yeah. Madden 2000 maybe?
That
was like the song that when you got out of the start menu, which wasn't much back in those days, that the song played. That was a jam back in the day. Anyway, it's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Typically, 5 o'clock, we give you Not My Beat, which is an inside look at the day's top story. But today, we're obviously in a weird week here with Monday Night Football, so we're kind of condensing some of our days together. And because we didn't have a chance to watch the tape and record Take Command before the show on Tuesday, we figured we would just blend Tuesday and Wednesday together. And today, Logan and I did get together and record our tape review show. It's over an hour of going inside the All-22 coaches tape on the Commanders' win over the Bengals on Monday night. And on the radio, on Tuesdays at 5:30, we make sure that we give you the Jaden Daniels breakdown, but without a space to do, or without the ability to do that on Tuesday and space to do it here on Wednesday, we present to you on a Wednesday the Take Command Tape Tuesday breakdown of Jaden Daniels' brilliance on Monday Night Football.
With the second pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels holds the keys to the Commanders' future.
Daniels is going to walk it in for the touchdown.
Take Command holds the keys to knowing how he played.
In the big moments when you needed to make plays, he just consistently made plays.
It's time for a Take Command Tape Tuesday.
Jaden Daniels just lays it out there perfectly. What a throw.
On the Hoffman Show.
You could say great. You could say pretty much anything that's positive about the game that Jaden Daniels had, Logan. As I watched it, I try not to be hyperbolic, but like you knew watching it live, it was really good. And then watching the tape, I got to a point where I was nearly in the fourth quarter, and I went, I don't know that he's made not just a bad decision yet. I don't know that he's made a suboptimal decision yet. Every time he scrambled was the right decision. Every throw seemed to go to the right guy. Obviously, there's two balls to Terry that he missed. Oh, darn. Those are his only two incompletions of the entire game. Is it hyperbolic to say this is one of the best quarterback games that we will ever watch for as long as we cover the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's been some pretty special performances. And I think back to, you know, the Andrew Lux and the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Manning's and those guys were exquisite in maybe a different way, you know, just in terms of ball efficiency and pushing the ball down the field and finding big time throws and just being those guys, you know. But I do think there was a mastery in this game to just the efficiency of it, you know. And then like right. The thing that he's been very efficient in his all three starts so far, but in the two prior to this, it was efficient, but you couldn't find the explosive plays. And so to see him connect with Terry, I think just kind of put the cherry on top. And in terms of the offense, in terms of his performance, and then the big time moments, you know, like I think when you look at the performance, you're kind of like, oh, it's pretty good. And then there's that 3rd and 7 conversion to Terry at the end. And it's like, that's one of the best throws you'll see ever. Best throw and catches. Like I was in the booth and, you know, I'm obviously supposed to like talk about the play. And I literally was speechless. All I could do was like laugh for like 30 seconds after they did it. Cause I couldn't think of anything to say. It was like one of the most incredible plays, like just between a quarterback and receiver. And it's not like you'll see people make that catch. You'll see people make that throw, but in the moment with the game on the line. And I think that is to me the thing that really sticks out. It's like, you know, there's a 4th down conversion, obviously, like where you're like, it was so loud in that stadium, like impossibly loud. And they just seemed to be able to get the communication taken care of. And he delivers a strike to Zach Ertz. And you're like, dang, like this dude's like in his bag. The other 4th down, the 4th and short conversion earlier on that drive or the drive prior, you know, where he keeps it and is able to kind of squeak through for a 1st down. Like every one of those plays was big. And it just seemed like every one of them was even more backbreaking than the last. And every one of them was in a pivotal moment. And like there's so many times, like as an offensive player, where we've talked about possessing the football late in a game versus a better offensive opponent. And I cannot remember a time in my career or covering a team since I've been out of the NFL, like as a player, where I've seen a team do it with that level of efficiency. And I think that's the other thing. It's like in the big moment when you needed to make plays, he just consistently made plays. And you're just like, they can't do it again. Like they've made too many plays already. They're it's unbalanced. They're not going to be able to do it. And then he makes a play. And then the last play for it to crescendo that way, I think was just great for the arc. And I think it leaves a really lasting impression in terms of the performance. Yeah, but have there been better performances? Maybe, but that one was pretty consistent. And it just kind of hit all the right notes, I guess.
Right, and that's what I mean, right? Like, there's been more prolific quarterback performances for sure. Guys who have, you know, just thrown for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns and, you know, that kind of thing. But in terms of their grade on the test that was given to them, it's hard to score much higher than Jaden did. It's hard to, you know, 21 of 23, like, it's not... That's probably going to be his career high completion percentage in his third ever game.
Right.
Like 91%. If he ever hits that again, wow. And that's fine. That's fine. He could hit 85% 17 times more in his career, and those would all be amazing games, but it's not 91%, and that's what he hit on Monday night. But I think the thing that really stuck out to me watching it back on tape, Logan, was the decision making. Because there's been times this year where you're like, oh, he's missed this opportunity, right? He's scrambled, his eyes are dropped. And I thought, I'm sure whoever the color analyst was this week on the Commanders radio broadcast did a great job of this as well. But as I was watching it on television, I thought Troy Aikman did a really good job of highlighting, you know, the kind of struggles that Jaden's had so far. There are relative struggles, right? But of like, hey, he has dropped his eyes when he's gotten pressure and he's looking to run when he scrambles as opposed to throw. And you know, you saw maybe a few examples, but then all of a sudden in this game he's doing that with the right regularity. When he is scrambling to run, you go back and watch it on tape and you're like, wow, there was no one open. And I think not only is there no one open, he realizes no one's going to get open. Like, the play is dead based off the coverage. There's no options, and he rescues it. And so when we talk about efficiency, it's like, how much do you get out of each down compared to what's available? And he consistently outperformed that, or at least reached that. And that's all you could possibly ask for in a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think the other thing is, like, you know, I use PFF for my film, and you go back and they have the grades for every player. And you're like, blue is a good grade. So if you see any kind of shade of blue, it's really good. And all of a sudden there's the darkest blue I've ever seen on a grade. And it's Jaden, you know, like a 99%, which I've never seen a grade like that. And again, it speaks to the performance and the decision making. And I'm really glad you brought up, like, keeping your eyes up, like in the scramble. There's that completion to Noah Brown in the red zone, and that's a play that he doesn't make 2 weeks ago. You know, he kind of keeps his eyes on the field. Noah Brown's working for him. He delivers a strike. You know, they get tackled on like the 1-inch line.
But yeah. By the way, did you watch Sam Cosmi on that play?
No, I didn't. I missed it. Was he?
Oh my god! I have to. I have the clip saved. I will send it to you. I put it out on Twitter, which of course you're not on, so you didn't see it there. Cosmi on that play, he has no one to block, so he finds work and he knocks 95 over, like, from, you know, he was lined up over the center and Biadasz is blocking him. He knocks him over outside the tackle box, so he just comes over and waylays him. But then as Jaden starts to scramble, he gets out in front to block and then realizes Jaden's going to throw. And he's like, oh crap, I'm about to be downfield. He doesn't back up, Logan. He falls over backwards. He looks to his right and sees where the line of scrimmage is and goes, whoa, and then falls over backwards, like backwards barrel roll to avoid the legal man downfield penalty. It is A-plus work from Sam Cosmi on that play.
That guy had a pretty solid game as well, but I like the stuff like that, you know. And like, there was a couple times where I'm like, oh, maybe if you work, there was like a seam, like comeback concept where I'm like, oh, if you work to the left, you know, like Joe Burrow makes that throw. But again, he worked to the right. It wasn't there. He scrambles for like a 5-6 yard gain. So even in those moments where you're like, could you be nitpicky here? Yeah. But like, if I'm being realistic, like this is still an excellent play. Like, the coverage is taking this away. Like, get what you can get. Like, and it just was like that at every level, right? Him as a runner, he was great. You know, so obviously scoring the touchdown, getting first downs. The play calling I thought was great in terms of kind of knowing when to push him and knowing when to kind of hold him back. I thought they had a really good feel, Cliff and Jaden, for each other, which was awesome to see. But I do think it was a special performance, like, no doubt about it. You don't beat the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow and not have a special performance from your quarterback, like, straight up. And I think he did. Like, it really comes down to the decision making, the maturity, and I like the poise. I know people throw that word out quite a bit, but like, that environment was nuts. And for him just to be so calm, so cool and collected. And like, how many times this year have you watched not only rookie quarterbacks, but, you know, even guys who've been in the league for 3, 4, 5 years, and they get in a hostile environment and the offense just feels unsettled because, you know, they can't get the cadence worked out, whatever it is. And I never felt that. It felt like they were at home. You know, they were at Northwest Field kind of operating their play. And I give a lot of credit to him for that level of composure in those moments. And again, a great game plan by Cliff, I thought, as well. But really, it was special, and it will be special. I mean, it's historic for a reason. And so, you know, we can talk about every single play that he had, but I think it was the consistency of the performance in terms of not making mental mistakes, not making unforced errors. And I think the thing that I come back to is, like, even in really great quarterback performances, they usually make a mistake. They usually make an unforced error. And I never felt like he got there. The one I'd kind of be semi-critical of is the big box fade to Terry where he doesn't set his feet. But again, we're picking hairs here. You know, we're splitting hairs here in terms of what he should have done and what he could have done there. But on the whole, man, it was special. Special performance, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, he also missed Terry, obviously, early on that deep over route where you're like, dang, he is wide open. But he's taking pressure. If he sees it faster and throws with more anticipation, then he probably isn't as worried about the pressure. But that is kind of the thing, is like, that was almost the breaking point where he's like, okay, if Terry is even, I can trust him. Like, Terry's going to be where he's supposed to be. And you see the anticipation he throws the deep ball with. And there's the great stat that they had on the broadcast that he, for all the deep balls that he threw to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. in college and everybody else, Brandon Ayuk going back to Arizona State, he never had a completion in college of 50-plus air yards. That was his first one. And he aired that sucker out there for Terry. And when he threw it, like, Terry is even at best with the corner and behind the safety. And he, like, in front of, I should say, the safety. And he airs that sucker out there. And it was kind of like, once he was late on that deep over route, it was kind of like, okay, like, I can't be late. I can't miss these opportunities. And one thing, you know, that we'll talk about more with Cliff is like the balance of the screens versus the deep stuff. And I feel like he kind of earned Cliff's trust. Real quick before we transition to that and some of the more schematic elements of the offense and what we liked, one more thing I wanted to just say about Jaden that I think has impressed me so far this season, or maybe surprised me, is he has a little more shake than I thought. Like, there is a little more Lamar Jackson to him than I initially thought watching him in college at LSU. And maybe it's because he was able to just straight up run away from people at LSU in a way that he can't in the NFL because these are better athletes. But you think of the scramble where he rolls out, sticks his foot in the ground, comes back inside. And then there's the play on the sideline where he, like, stops short, does the little spin, shakes the guy off, and then walks across the first down. It's like a gain of like 3 or 4 yards, but most guys get tackled, you know, for -2. And that moment, like the swagger that he breaks that tackle with, and then just like, oh, I'm going to walk across the line of scrimmage or walk across the first down and then step out of bounds. That was so Lamar Jackson in the best possible way that I think that has actually surprised me a little bit because, you know, while he wasn't a pure straight line runner, like he was somewhere between what Robert was, for instance, and what Lamar is the shakiest guy in the league, perhaps. I think he's a little closer to Lamar on that scale than I initially imagined. And what that does is, like, those extra yards really add up, and especially when he converts them to first downs. And now he actually passed Lamar in this game for most first downs gained by a quarterback rushing on the season, and that keeps your offense on schedule in a way that is, like, impossibly valuable.
Yeah, impossibly valuable for sure. But I don't know, it's interesting because people have been saying that to me, but I always thought he was a very skilled runner. Obviously, I didn't think he was Lamar, but I think he had the ability to make people miss, and he had that kind of suddenness and that natural feel, which I thought was really exciting. And everyone's like, oh, he's going to take big hits. But because of that feel as a runner, I thought, you know, like, he's shown an ability to kind of skate stuff, and he's got really good spatial awareness. And, you know, everyone kind of kept comparing him to Robert. And, like, I understand the comparison, but I never really agreed with it because it, like, Robert was so linear. He didn't understand, like, the space of the tacklers, and he had a really hard time making people miss. And, like, when you watch Jaden in college, like, there was a play versus Missouri where he has a quarterback draw, and, like, his suddenness to kind of, you know, find the hole through the offensive line, burst to the outside, make a guy miss at the second level and score a touchdown. I mean, like it was there in college. And so I think it's cool now that, like, kind of maybe people who didn't watch as much film on him, like, get to see see him do that, get to see this skill set and understand, like you bring up, maybe this is the best point coming out of this game. His ability to get first downs with his legs is incredibly valuable. Like we're going to talk about Cliff here in a second, but like, and Cliff's like in his bag, man. Cliff's doing a great job calling these games, like just calling the game. Like you can talk about scheme all you want and formations, but he just has such a good feel for like when to call the draw, when to call the screen, when to kind of work the middle of the field, like when to run these RPO zone. He's got such a good feel for that. But in addition to that, and I do think Jaden supports this, Jaden's ability to get first downs or get you out of bad second and tens, third and tens, into like manageable either first downs or second and shorts, third and shorts, is incredibly valuable for this offense because they're never stressed. Because like even I forget what it was. It was late in the game. I think they were at a second and 20, and he scrambles first and 15, and he scrambles for a 7-yard gain. Like to be after a first and 15 and a second and 8. After that situation, because of his ability to run when everything's covered up, is it just shows you like it takes me back to 2000. I think it was 2021 when Daniel Jones was playing really, really well and scrambling for a bunch of first downs, and you're able to manage an offense through that. And obviously, he's playing better than Daniel Jones was that year, but especially in this game. But that it just raises the floor of your offense in such a nice way. Like, and again, and you mentioned it, he's always seemed, at least in this game, making the correct decisions about when to run and when not to run. So I just think it's this really nice skill set that I can't overstate how valuable it is that he keeps consistently making good decisions in that department.
Yeah, the last thing I want to hit on with Jaden more specifically before we, you know, get into Cliff, it does touch on like the play calling though, is what, like, and this is a huge credit to Cliff and that staff for preparing Jaden, but also obviously to Jaden for doing the work. His ability to get in the right play as a rookie and like time score situation. And specifically I'm thinking of in the final drive of the game to set up the 3rd and 7, they're at 2nd and 20 and Jaden calls, or maybe they're in 1st and 20. I don't know what it is, but like they called back to back screens. And the first one I think was called by Cliff and they both went to Diami, but the second one Jaden clearly checks into. They show him on the broadcast. He's like rubbing his chin. Like he's got a look and he knows like we just need to get closer. Like we need to make this third and manageable, and it might even be go time on 4th down. So like, let's make sure that we're in a good situation. And so they get into that 3rd and 7 by 2 really solid gains from Diami Brown on screens. And so to get that yardage in that situation, to understand like, oh, I have the confidence to run this here. It's, you know, crunch time, less than 5 minutes to go on the clock. Like we're trying to ice away the game and I'm comfortable changing the play that my play caller just sent in because that's what he would want me to do. One, you credit everyone else who makes the blocks and Diami, who's been a fantastic screen runner this year, but the chutzpah, if you will, to make the audibles at the line as a rookie and to be right with the consistency that he's right, I think is pretty big time.
Yeah, and again, they get like a zero look there, and I think that's a really good check versus zero, is that kind of slammer screen, is at least that's what we called in Kyle's offense, where you get the two receivers blocking out and then the offensive line kind of working that way. And I love it. But I think on the 4th down, he was going to check it again, you know, and then they called timeout. And I think, you know, again, it's like that's good by the coaching staff. And I think this is great in terms of insulating, is you let him do what he needs to do. But if in that big moment you kind of call timeout, you bring him over and say, hey, man, we want this, you know what I mean? Like take it out of his hands a little bit. I think that balance has been really good because, like, you know, you mentioned the checking. He checked the Austin Ekeler run last week. He checked to the screen this week. And there's little subtle things that he does in the play where he's checking or he's alerting stuff. And I think he does a great job of that. And it's really, really impressive. But I also think that's a perfect sequence because it shows like, hey, he's getting ready to check it again on the 4th and 4. And then they just call timeout. And I think they're calling timeout because the play clock's getting low, but also it's like, hey, man, we want this. Like, let's make sure we get this called. And I think that's, again, just a really good relationship between the coaches. Sometimes you want them to have the decision, but sometimes you need to protect them from themselves. And I think that was a really cool moment of seeing both sides of that coin on that drive, which is great. And again, like, speaks to Jaden's success and also the offensive coaching staff and all the things they've done to insulate him.
By the way, on that second one to Diami, if Cosme gets a piece of his guy, but his guy ultimately makes the tackle, if Cosme can somehow stick that block, that thing is out.
It's a touchdown. Like that was, and that's why you call it, is because like the numbers are really favorable and the guy that's got to make the tackle is pursuing from the box. So if you can beat him, which most receivers can, like, I can't tell you, we used to watch cut-ups with Kyle where it's like, here's Andre Johnson scoring 5 touchdowns on slammer screen versus 0. Here's one versus Julio Jones, where Julio Jones, same thing. And it's a really effective play. So I love that they installed it in the week, because obviously you don't just call that in the moment. You've prepped that as your 0 answer. And I love the execution of it. Obviously, if it's a little bit better, it's 6, and we're not talking about all these great throws he had late in the game. But
all right, take command. If you want the full podcast with the defensive film breakdown, the rest of what we thought of how Cliff did, the O-line, everything, you got to check it out. Go to Take Command on your favorite podcast app, or check out the full episode at the Team 980 on YouTube. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, it is a competition Wednesday. Got our picks. I got my picks. Anthony's got his picks. We'll see how he did, and we'll pick 3 new games against the spread head-to-head. And we'll see if either one of us has to spin the wheel of mediocre punishments. That's next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. All right. Let's talk about it, Anthony. Let's talk about how we did last week as we go head-to-head in a competition Wednesday. Of course, it is competition Wednesday for the Commanders, and Anthony and I wanted to find a way this year for us to go head-to-head as well. So we already pick all the games on Fridays, and that's one thing to pick all the games, but we know the more challenging thing is to pick them against the spread. And so we each get 3 games that we get to choose. So it's not the same 3 games. We each get 3 games. We pick the games, and then we see how we did record-wise. And if one of us beats the other, then we spin the wheel of mediocre punishment. And there's a bunch of stuff on there. Anthony has the wheel at his side in the producer studio. And he has lost the first 2 weeks. He still owes me lunch, something we're going to take care of Monday after Wizards Media Day. So we'll go interview a bunch of tall people, and then Anthony's going to buy me lunch. And then, Anthony, what's the other one that you owe? Oh, it was the fantasy sub.
Yeah,
how'd you do in your fantasy league this weekend after I subbed out your starting defense? Which actually didn't wind up being as bad as it could have been, because you had someone in, I don't remember who I subbed out, but I subbed in the Falcons off your bench to face the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, just as a little more background on that, Anthony had kind of messed up in that he had a bunch of injured dudes already. He had to make some substitutions. I kind of told him, like, hey, bro, you better fix your lineup. So it was either I really screwed him and subbed out the quarterback situation, which actually would have worked out all right because Bo Nix was your backup quarterback.
Yep.
And so I actually wound up, I think, doing you a disservice and not subbing in your quarterback. But then I did sub out and put the Falcons defense in against the Chiefs. How'd you do in fantasy this weekend?
So I improved to 3-0 on the young season. I beat Doug, who I think he was the second or third highest scoring team in the fantasy league.
Doug.
And I didn't just beat him, Craig. I spanked him. Even though, you know, you subbed out my defense, I still managed to beat him by, let me do this math real quick, 37.
Dang.
Beat him by 37. I'm looking at some of the other scores. 166, 160, 137. Yeah, I wasn't even the fourth highest scoring. But yeah.
So in a way, you got kind of lucky.
Yeah, because I didn't face any of those teams. But my team still did pretty good. Jonathan Taylor, he went off for me. James Cook. You subbed in the Falcons defense for me. They got me 2 points. The 49ers defense is who I had in. And they only got me 5 points, so.
You know what happened to me, Anthony?
You lost.
I looked like I was in the driver's seat, and then Jaden Daniels happened. And I got slowed. I really made a mistake in I had Dallas Goedert on my bench. I basically lost the game at the tight end position. And it's look, I will not complain about my fantasy situation compared to the real pain that Sam Laporta had to deal with as he got hurt. But I had Laporta in, he got hurt, and then Dallas Goedert on my bench, and he lost his freaking mind. And so I was a minus 22 of my potential at the tight end position, and I lost by 8. So that's unfortunate. Also didn't have the best wide receiver day. James Conner gave me absolutely nothing at the running back spot.
Oh yeah, they had him in a box.
So I probably need to figure out something at the running back position. But that's a after the show problem. I lost. But then this week, Anthony,
you don't play me, do you?
I sure do.
Uh oh, you know what that means?
It means I got to play better. / my guys got to play better.
I like the spread in our game. It's 2.
We're expected to be just 2 points apart?
Yeah.
Nice. I haven't even adjusted my lineup yet, so.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Change that. Maybe we can change. Have you? You certainly didn't last week. You had injured dudes in on Sunday.
I'll probably change. I'll put the 49ers defense in. That's about it. Everybody else, remain the same. I have Deontay Johnson. He went off. Travis Kelce still hasn't had a good game. We're fine over here. We're just fine. Okay. Nick Chubb isn't back yet. TJ Hockenson isn't back yet. Hey, look, we're doing just fine. 3-0. We'll stay up here while you sit down here.
Okay. That's fine. whatever you just said. So let's look back at how we did last week, and then let's get to it. Competition Wednesday this week. It should be better if I did these picks ahead of time as I'm literally looking at the list right now. All right, Ant, you have, or who'd you have last week, and how did you do?
So I had Pitt minus 1.5.
They won by 10.
They did indeed.
Good start for you.
I had the Buffalo Bills minus 5.
They won by 500, so you're good there.
And then my third one, I was going to go with Vegas. I mean, not Vegas. I was going to go with the Panthers to cover, and I didn't. I went with Houston minus 2, Craig.
How'd that go?
They got embarrassed. That's what happened.
Yeah.
They got beat down.
They lost by a million.
Yeah.
So you went 2-1. Okay. I had the Patriots plus 6 on Thursday Night Football. So I started the weekend very quickly 0-1. But I bounced back. Seattle put the work to Miami as they had all their quarterback issues. I had them minus 4. And then on Sunday Night Football, a little bit of a closer one than I wanted it to be. But Kansas City, I had minus 3.5 over Atlanta. They won by 5, 22-17. So now we have a decision to make, Anthony. If we tie, what do we do? Do we do a rock, paper, scissors? Do we carry it over and it's 2 spins next week? Is it... is it golf rules? Like if we tie on a hole, whoever had the best score the previous week and thus I would win because I was the winner coming into the week.
So we're definitely not going with that option.
Is that, what would you say that if you were the winner coming into the week?
Debatably. Possibly, Craig. I'm not going to rule it out, but I haven't been in the driving seat yet. So, no.
Okay.
I like rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Or we can play Connect Four.
Connect Four is... That takes too long.
It does take long, but I promise you I would have made it quick. I'm pretty good at Connect Four.
Yeah,
one of my favorite.
I think... All right, we'll play Connect Four another time.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay, I got to write it down.
Yeah, bring Connect Four in next week. When
I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to bring it in, Craig.
Okay. I'm sure you're good. But, like, at the end of the day, look, counting is famously not my strong suit. But if I can not have my ADD strike, there's only so good you can be at Connect Four.
Okay.
That said, I don't love the – I kind of like the idea of raising the stakes for next week. I kind of like the idea –
Double or nothing kind of thing?
Yeah. So if it carries over –
But what if we go 2-1 again?
Then I guess it would be worth 3 spins. You could wind up having to do –
Okay.
Mean,
what about this, Craig?
Okay.
What if we do 3 games, and then if we tie, we do a 4th game, and we have to pick the spread.
Well, we have to pick the same game and be on opposite sides of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that. So we should really do that every week. We should have a head-to-head game.
Yeah.
That's the tiebreaker.
That would be
so
smart.
We should pick two plus a head-to-head. Okay. Well, that means...
No, because what if we tied again?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, the thing is, though, like, what if I would have been, say, 2-1 and you would have been 1-2, but you got the head-to-head game right? Then it doesn't count?
Yeah, it doesn't count.
It's only a tiebreaker.
Yep.
Okay. I like this.
All right.
I like this thought. Okay. So that means that Anthony and I are going to have to put our heads together because our picks that we had written down, we now need to find if there's a head-to-head and then pick another game.
Yeah.
So take a break. We'll come back. We'll hit the picks. That's next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 on a Competition Wednesday. All right, it's Competition Wednesday here on the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. All right, so we've now, because we had to reconfigure our picks, so we're going to go to the extra segment here. And we have three games that we're each going to pick. And if we're tied, like we were this week, so we're just not going to have a winner this week, and this will carry over into next week. But next week we'll have a head-to-head tiebreaker, and that's how that's going to work. So we've selected that game. We've selected our three other games, and now we're going to reveal to you our picks on this Competition Wednesday, and then coming up at 6, our pick 6 at 6, we'll hear more from Dan Quinn, and we'll get to the top storylines of the day from Command Land. All right, let's do it, Anthony. Who do you got? I'll let you go first this week. What is your first game in Competition Wednesday? Three games we got to pick against the spread.
So my first game, baby, Dallas minus 6. Tomorrow's Thursday night football game. They play a divisional rival in the Giants. The Giants stink. But for some reason, hey.
They didn't last week.
Yeah, they were able to beat the Browns. But the Browns also stink. I think Dallas, this is a game you got to have. You got to go out there and make a statement. A lot of people writing Dallas off right now. And I hope Dallas doesn't write those guys back. And they go out there, prove everybody that they're still a legitimate team in the NFL.
I did think about this game, but from the New York side of it. But then I was also like, I kind of like it from the Dallas side of it because I learned my lesson last week about division games on Thursday Night Football with a 6.5-point favorite. And Thursday Night Football is just too much for me to touch. I'm like, let's be smart. Let's stay away from Thursday Night Football. Instead, I would pick a division game on a Sunday. Atlanta and New Orleans. Atlanta just played the Chiefs to a 5-point game.
Yep.
And they're looking better and better by the week. I have no idea what the Saints are. But the Falcons, I think most people would look at this and say, hey, the Saints should be favored based off what they did the first 2 weeks. The Falcons haven't proven anything yet. And yet the Falcons are 2.5-point favorites. So it feels like they're begging you to take the Saints. So I'm going to take the Falcons. And I just think this is the week they put it together. Defensively, I think they can turn Derek Carr over a couple times. Even though I'm taking a favorite, I'll take the home favorite. I'll take the Falcons to then level things in the division. They would both be 2-2.
I like that one. I'm not going to lie. Like it a lot. I didn't want to pick that game, though. It scared me a little bit.
All these games scare me.
Nah,
there's both like games I like, but then I'm like, do I really want to?
Yeah.
This is how you get in trouble gambling, kids. 1-800-GAMBLING is the hotline where this is just for entertainment.
The next game that I took the Seahawks plus 3.5. And I think that that half a point is going to be the difference in this game. I think
this is the Monday nighter against the Lions.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
track at home.
A close game. I think it's going to be a close game. Maybe the Seahawks walk it off with a field. I mean, not the Seahawks. The Lions walk it off with a field goal. But I think the Seahawks defense is going to, they got something to say.
Yeah. My heart wants to take Detroit in this and just be like, tough. It's going to be Monday night. It's going to be rowdy atmosphere, but I kind of think the Seahawks are up for it. So I do think this will be a great game. This is like a lot of Monday night games. I'm like, I've watched enough. I watched 7 hours of football at least on Sunday. Like I'm good. I don't need to watch Monday night football. Unless it's a really interesting game. And this one qualifies. I think this one's going to be on in the Hoffman household next Monday night. However, Anthony, for my pick, I am going to a game that I'm spending 0 seconds on. I am not watching this game. I will monitor the score only because I'm picking it. I cannot believe that I am putting any emotional investment in this game because it might wind up being one of the worst games on the NFL schedule all year long.
Uh-oh.
And that game is Titans-Dolphins, the other Monday nighter.
That's so fun.
The Dolphins don't know who they're playing at quarterback. Skylar Thompson's day-to-day with a chest injury. And they're favored by one. Give me the Titans. I know they've been terrible. I know that Will Levis has been an adventure wrapped inside an enigma, wrapped inside a, I don't even know. But realistically, the Titans have enough that I go, I think they can beat that Dolphins team. The Dolphins are in a bad way, man.
Do you not have faith in Mike McDonald?
I do have a lot of faith in Mike McDaniel. The way their system is set up, like, I don't know that he's going to be able to fix it in a week. Like, their system is so set up for Tua to be the quarterback and to get the ball out quickly. Their offensive line's not very good.
Yeah.
Like, then if you can sit on the run, like, you kind of force some things down the field, and it's just not really set up for them to do that. Their quarterbacking's not... The Titans stink, bro, and the more I think about it, the more I don't want to do it, so I'm just going to hold my nose and take the Titans. It feels dumb until I win next week.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'd rather see it before I could actually still believe it. The last game that I'm going to pick is the Sunday night football game with the Ravens and your Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
I think this is the game. You know, Josh Allen's going to come back down to earth. All those people that are talking about the Bills, the best team in the NFL. And
I mean, they have been so far.
I mean, yeah, they look good. You know, they played the Jags last week. But, you know, we'll see what they do.
Thoroughly embarrassed them.
Yeah, they did. But we'll see what they do against this.
Their offense is they've had the same number of punts, I think, the last couple weeks as the Commanders.
Dang.
Yeah, I don't think they punt. I think the only team that punted on Monday night between two games was the Jags.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just – I think Baltimore is going to run off on the Bills, man. I got them at 2.5, so I guess they're begging you to pick Buffalo?
I mean, I don't think that's that stinky of a fish where it's like, okay. I mean, the Ravens at home, they say you get 3 points at home, so they're telling you the Bills are half point better.
I'm still trying to, you know.
With the home field advantage, Sunday night football. Like, I've seen Lamar do too much in primetime. I have too much respect for the Ravens to pick the Bills, even though I want to. And also just, I'm like, are the Ravens really going to drop to 1-3?
I hope you pick the Bills, Craig.
I'm not going to pick the Bills. Okay. I'm going to upset you in a different way.
Oh.
I'm going against your Colts. The Steelers are going into Indy, and they only have to win by 1.5. So
okay.
Unless they win by one, as long as they win, I'm good. Which, watch me get screwed by that. But, like, this defense, this Mike Tomlin defense, this T.J. Watt defense that hasn't given up 10 points to anybody so far this year, yep, against the current version that we're seeing of Anthony Richardson, there's some boom or bust potential for sure, but I think they'll be able to shut down some of the big plays, and I don't trust Anthony Richardson not to turn the ball over a ton. Like, this has at least one pick six all over it.
Dang! At least?
Dude, he is...
He does make boneheaded plays.
He is erratic.
Yeah.
Erratic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go Pittsburgh -1.5 at Indy.
Well, I can't wait for next Wednesday.
Yeah, I can't either. Okay, should we tie again, Anthony? We are taking the biggest spread on the board. And I told myself I was not going, like, after last week, after what they did against the Jets, I'm done with the Patriots. And here I am again. Here I am again. New England is a 10-point dog in San Francisco. I'm basically taking the 10 points blind and just hoping that it's the NFL and teams don't win by 10 points very often. I'm taking the plus 10. You're taking the San Francisco minus 10. And somehow I'm sitting, for the fourth week out of four, I am sitting on the Patriots, although this one is in break glass in case of emergency only.
Well, this one's concerning, too. More and more injuries for San Fran. Javon Hargrave, I think, is out for the season. So that's
yes,
more concerning.
Yes, it is. But you're the one who suggested this game, so.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't go with the Browns or the Raiders. Couldn't go with any of these other teams.
Is there There's another game that I just saw that I kind of want to sub.
Philly-Tampa.
No, I did think about that one. Like, Rams-Bears. Chicago's favored by 2.5. I'm so scared that Chicago figures it out. But the Rams are so well coached and Chicago's not.
Yeah.
Do I bet against the Bears again? I bet on the Bears in week. I bet on the Bears twice.
Why don't we go Minnesota Green Bay?
Which side of that? I don't know which side of that I want. That's the problem.
I think that makes it even better because I don't know which side I want either.
Well, that's not very much of a competition. We're just flipping a coin.
Well,
I'm supposed to compete, Anthony.
I think I want to go with Minnesota then.
I don't feel strongly enough to not.
Well, I think I want to go with Green Bay.
I don't feel strongly enough. If you wanted Chicago, I would sub Rams Bears. If not, I kind of want to sub Rams Bears for my Titans Dolphins pick.
You sub them for your Titans Dolphins pick. I'm not going with the Bears at all. They stink.
I can't bring myself to bet on Will Levis. That's the sign of a healthy human. All right, I'm going LA plus 2.5. LA plus 2.5 against Chicago.
I bet against the Bears, right?
No, I do not. I thought about it, but I bailed out at the last second.
I mean, do you feel confident that Jacksonville will cover?
Did you see what happened to them on Monday night?
Okay, just making sure.
No. Would I bet on it if I had to choose a side? Yes.
But what about the Commanders game?
I don't know what to do with that game, bro.
Me either.
I certainly don't want to bet on Arizona.
Me either.
And they're favored, so I bet on Washington. So that's, but then I want to stay away from Washington because that feels like extra juju.
Okay.
I will give you till the end of the commercial break to try to find another suitable alternative, so you don't have to take San Francisco minus 10. But other than that, I've got Atlanta minus 2.5, Pittsburgh minus 1.5, LA plus 2.5, and then New England plus 10 is the tiebreaker. Anthony has San Francisco minus 10, and then.
San Fran minus 10, Dallas minus 6, Seahawks plus 3.5, Baltimore minus 2.5, baby.
All right, that's Competition Wednesday. We'll see how we do next Wednesday. And one of us definitely will be spinning the wheel of mediocre punishment. When we get back, pick 6 time, we'll get you updated on the latest Commanders headlines of the day.